As filmmakers, John and Andy Irwin have learned that movies and stories have a way of engaging people around spiritual subjects and theological conversations in a way that other means of communication just can't do as effectively. Here's John Irwin.
I think the question that keeps so many people from God is, how could something difficult happen in my life? How could God let this or that happen? And this film confronts that question boldly, but through the lens of an entertaining, beautiful love story, and it leaves you feeling more hopeful.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You can find us online at familylifetoday.com. We're going to talk today to the two people who took Jeremy Camp's story about trusting God in the middle of very difficult circumstances and turned it in to a major motion picture that opens today. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. This is a big day, and I know folks are thinking that's just because you're like a movie fan, and I am a movie fan. You're movie fans.
We both are movie fans.
And I was thinking about the fact that the stories we tell each other are what shape a culture.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's why you think, okay, it's a big day because there's a movie coming out that we're pretty excited about. Folks who've been listening this week know that we've been sharing Jeremy Camp's story, and that's the movie that is releasing this weekend, the movie I Still Believe. But these stories have an impact on the lives of millions of people. It's not just an impact on their lives. It's an impact on who they become as a result of hearing the story, and that spreads throughout a culture.
Yeah, and I tell you, there's a joke back in my church, and actually with the guys that I do life with, that Dave Wilson only cries in a movie theater.
It's actually very true.
I mean, one time we were driving to a little men's retreat, the eight of us in a big Suburban, and they put in Meet the Parents, and they're like, let's see if Wilson cries. And I did. They're like, how in the world can you cry? And here's the thing. When I'm in a movie theater, I get lost in the story. Mm-hmm. And the story hits me emotionally. I want to cry in life more, but that's the power of a story. And I love movies because of the story.
So you know that these guys want to know right away whether you cried when you saw I Still Believe. And these guys are John and Andy Irwin, who are back on Family Life Today.
We love you guys. Thanks for having us.
Great to have you guys back. And I want to point out here at the beginning that there are some radio cameos in I Still Believe, and
absolutely,
I'm not one of them.
Oh. Well, we called your agent, and we couldn't get rid of it.
The money was prohibitive. Yeah. And,
for those who don't know John and Andy, these guys are responsible for some of the best Christian films that have come out in the last decade.
The very best.
Going back to October Baby.
Oh, that's old school.
Yeah. And then after that was Mom's Night Out, mm-hmm, then Woodlawn, and then I Can Only Imagine. And I remember having a conversation with you. I don't know if you remember this, but John and I were together a month before I Can Only Imagine came out. We were sitting around talking, and I said, okay, so opening weekend, what number at the box office? Because opening weekend, every movie guy is looking, how did my movie do, right?
I thought you were going to take credit for the whole movie, Bob. We were sitting there a month beforehand.
I said, so what number, box office number, are you going to be disappointed with? What number will you go, okay, that's good, and what number will you go, yes? Do you remember this?
I remember you asking. Did I give
yes,
you a number?
So he said, anything less than $6 million opening weekend, I'm going to be disappointed with. And part of the reason I was asking, because the buzz on I Can Only Imagine was huge in advance of the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I was seeing it everywhere. So I said, less than $5 or $6 million, I'm going to be disappointed. $6-$7 million, I'm going to be happy with that. If it gets 10, I'll be elated.
Yeah.
So what was opening weekend?
Well,
come on, what was opening weekend?
Yeah, so opening weekend for I Can Only Imagine was a life-changing moment.
It was $17 million.
Yeah, 17.1. And I do remember number three movie in America behind Tomb Raider and Black Panther, and both of which cost, you know, more than $100 million to make. And and then it just, you know, the faith audience showed up in such force that it created this cultural moment. And something that we like to refer to as very powerful as FOMO, which is the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
And cultures, this works, by the way. Culture is so lonely. They're calling the most connected generation the loneliest generation, that whatever's popular, we gravitate towards, we want to be a part of, we want to talk about. So when we show up and unify our voice, amazing things happen. And so over 10 million tickets were sold, I can only imagine, in the course of 7 weeks. And it was amazing to see the audience get more further and further away from a faith-based audience, and just people that were curious began to pour into theaters and people started getting saved. One of my favorite stories is there was a woman and her son who were watching the movie, and they put it on Twitter, and they passed a woman on the way out, and this woman said, "Are you guys Christians?" And she said, "Yeah, are you total stranger, are you?" And she said, "No, but whatever happened to Dennis Quaid in this movie, I need to have in my life. Can someone please explain it to me?"
Wow.
Right in the theater, and there's been over going on like 150,000 of those. And that just shows what happens when we show up as one voice to be entertained, to go to a movie. But what's interesting is to let every Christian know listening that your movie ticket really is your vote. And when you go see something that's entertaining and meaningful to you that represents your worldview, you're getting that message out to the world. And, you know, dozens of people are going to see it on your behalf. And so it was a life-changing moment that we've been trying to steward well ever since. You know, I asked many leaders, like, do the feelings of profound inadequacy ever go away? You know? But I don't know why God's chosen us for this, but we're honored to be a part of what God is doing in Hollywood. I've never seen a time in our industry where God is moving in the entertainment industry across the board, and we get to be a part of it. And because of the audience, we're getting to dream really big right now.
Well, I think that as believers sitting in the audience, we want to say thank you to you guys, because the reason we're telling all our friends is because it was well done.
Yeah.
I mean, we are proud to say, you need to see this movie. And because some of our friends can say, really? A Christian movie, will it really be any good? And I think we could all say, yes, you're going to love it.
We're so into movies at our church. We are awesome. Now the Raiders. People text us and say, okay, give us the star. I'm not kidding.
That's
I am
awesome.
Not kidding.
I love it.
We're empty nesters now, and I love stories. So, I mean, halfway through the movie, I'm like, this has got to be seen by not just the church. Right? And that's what happened.
And that's the goal. You know, I think the cool thing about it is, you know, we really had the kind of theory that Christians, they don't just want to go for just the message. They want to be entertained, too. And the price of admission to a movie is $10 regardless of what the movie's about. Mm-hmm. And so we felt like as we've gone along, we have one of our core values is that quality is something we always chase. It's not something we ever catch. And so we always want to get a little bit better. Mm-hmm. In the process, make an entertaining product that we earn the right to be heard. And so I think as you see that, you know, not just with us, but across the board, you see these films getting better and better and better to where now we can compete. And I think you're not ashamed to invite your friends that aren't in the church to come along with you. And it's a great opportunity for evangelism.
We had a chance to preview this film for 5,500 of our closest friends just a few weeks ago on the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise.
That's awesome.
And they,
I still believe this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, of course I knew that. How'd it go? Did they like it?
They loved it.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
I mean, the response in a setting like this, you know, you've been in theaters where an audience viscerally responds to what's going on, and they cheer, and they really loved this film. Why this story? Because coming out of I Can Only Imagine, you had dozens, maybe hundreds of stories. Mm-hmm. Why this one?
Yeah, you know, I think that when we got done with I Can Only Imagine, we were kind of a little stress paralyzed, you know, and I called up Bart and I just said, you know, when you wrote the song I Can Only Imagine, that was your breakout hit. What did you do next? And he said, don't try to chase doing a second I Can Only Imagine. Find a story, something you fall in love with, and tell that next. Mm. And so we were looking across the board and we had all sorts of stories. And, you know, we didn't think that we would jump into another music story, but what made this one different is somebody introduced us to Jeremy and Adie Camp, and they said, you have to hear their story. And we sat down with Jeremy and doing an interview like this, and about an hour into that interview, Jeremy got the thousand-yard stare and started reliving his love relationship with his first wife, Melissa, who battled bravely with cancer, and her story that was just beautiful, tragic, miraculous, and ultimately redemptive. And there wasn't a dry eye in the room. You just hear a pin drop for 2 hours. And then after that was done, we pulled his wife now, Adrienne, into the conversation, and I asked her, how could you listen to your husband talk about another woman for 3 hours and not flinch, not have a hint of jealousy? And she said, let me be very clear. I'm very possessive over Jeremy and Melissa's story, because their story changed my life. It was something I needed to hear. Mm-hmm. And I turned to John and I said, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I want to do that story. It was the most spectacular love story I'd ever heard.
Yeah, ultimately, we say that we're a story company, and it's all about the power of the story. We love true stories.
Right.
And I just think it was such a powerful love story. And a love story was so different. You know, I can only imagine it's primarily a father-son story. And there is a love story. But this one was like a walk to remember, like a beautiful love story that we thought, you know, the stories that we try to tell are stories that are really entertaining, but that are really strategic in showcasing the power of Christianity, the power of the gospel, and drawing people to that. So people, after hopefully being thoroughly entertained and having a great night at the movies, say, I need more of this in my life. And it fit all those things. And so we moved it ahead of a lot of other things. And you know, I think anybody that is involved in the creative arts, you just have to trust that if something is meaningful and beautiful and inspirational and entertaining to you, that it will be to other people. And that if God's calling you to do something, even if everyone says you're crazy, which they did with I Can Only Imagine, just follow God. Follow God out into the unknown and out where it's scary. So we were that moved by the story and thought it was really beautiful. And I think also on a, I'd say, ministry level, I think the question that keeps so many people from God is, how could something difficult happen in my life? How could God let this or that happen? And that's the main question that I think keeps people from a relationship with Christ. And this film confronts that question boldly, but through the lens of an entertaining, beautiful love story. And it leaves you feeling more hopeful than when you went in. And so I think it's a tool for people to deal with things in their life and things that have kept them from God.
I know that after Ann and I watched it, I texted a good friend of mine, Josh McCown, plays quarterback for the Eagles, been in the league 17 years, I think, something like that.
Special guy.
So I knew him from his years as a quarterback in Detroit. He wasn't as good as me, but he's pretty good. You know?
That's what I hear.
Yeah, he's an incredible man of God. Yeah. And he had always told me about Jeremy. Mm. They're friends, and and I'd never met Jeremy. I didn't even know this story until I saw the movie. Mm-hmm. So I texted him right after, and I said, dude, I just watched a movie you're going to see, and it's amazing. And his comment was, Jeremy Camp is the real deal.
Absolutely.
I've never met a more authentic man of God than Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Is that what you found out?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that for us, you know, we tell true stories as kind of our, you know, that's our wheelhouse, you know, whether it's Woodlawn or I Can Only Imagine. True stories is where we really found our voice. And so, you know, when you get into it, you really hope that the legend lives up, you know, in real life, the person really has that kind of metal to him. And so when we stepped into Jeremy and Adrian's story and telling the story of Melissa, it was amazing to see that it absolutely just lived up to it even more so as we found out little details. And as you watch the movie, there's moments that you would think that's too crazy to have really happened, or and a lot of it's word for word what actually took place. And so Jeremy's the real deal, and so is this family, and so it's a privilege for us.
Yeah, I've never met a more just humble, authentic, great, fun guy that's just on fire for his faith and just special couple, special guy. And God's given an amazing story that I think can go on to touch millions of more people.
What was it like for him when he watched the finished version of the movie?
The first time we showed it to him, we showed it to him at his house. And so it was myself and a few others and then his family and his longtime manager, Matt. And I told him, I said, you know, whenever you do a true story, it's not doing a photograph of your life. That would be a documentary. It's doing a portrait. So it's us taking your entire life experience and cramming it into kind of one lens of that in 2 hours. So I said, but we've studied you well enough, and John and the team that wrote the script, they studied him well enough to say, this is going to be a very accurate portrait. So it's going to be spooky because some of the things that you're going to see on screen are going to be exactly the way it happened. And it's going to hit some raw nerves. So I said, I give you permission that if it gets too emotional and you need to stand up, you don't have to explain it to me. You just stand up, walk out of the room, and we'll push pause and wait on you. And it got to one specific part that I'm not going to give anything away in the story, but it got really real. Mm-hmm. And he just like, I'm out. I got to go. He walks out in the hallway, and he and his family held each other and cried for 45 minutes. And it was one of the most beautiful, redemptive things I've ever watched. And it was just an honor to be around. And he came back down and he sat down on the couch and he said, okay, let's go. And he watched the rest of it. He said, what I just watched is exactly how it felt. And so it was an honor.
And I think I'd love to know your comment, because the thing I've felt when I watched your movies is it's authentic, it's real, it's not sanitized.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's, again, I'm just a viewer, but I'm like,
thank you.
Often you don't see that in a Christian movie. It's like they're not going to go that far. You and know, you, I mean, I'm just sitting there like, that's beautiful. And yet, talk about it as a writer and producer. How do you go there?
Well, I think, first of all, we wanted to debunk a myth that to be authentic and real, you have to be sort of edgy or something like that. And I think that there's a way to make entertainment that is trustworthy, that's safe for the entire family, and yet that really does explore a level of authenticity and just the things that we all go through and a level of beauty. And hopefully there's nothing in the movie that makes you cringe, either because it offends you or because it's not right or whatever. And we really, you know, we say films are, I think George Lucas said films are never complete, they're only abandoned. So, you know, we just want to always get better. But I would say that Andy and I are part of a team that is just relentlessly pursuing excellence and trying to hone this craft of filmmaking for the purposes of the gospel. I mean, we serve the greatest storyteller of all time. So I think it's just about fully believing in the material yourself and really going there. I remember Christopher Nolan said in an article that people know when a filmmaker is sort of really taking the emotional journey for themselves and when a filmmaker is trying to make the audience believe something that they don't believe. The audience can feel that. So I think it's about really immersing yourself deeply into the story and feeling everything. And then it's just about having an incredible team of people. And I think that the reason that I feel like that the films are getting better is that we just have such amazing people. And there's so many people that want to be involved in faith film. It's just it's a watershed moment within the industry. And to be able to get the level of talent to be a part of these things and to embrace them is a special moment. It's no longer a niche. It's something people want to be a part of.
So do you look at this film and say to yourself, this is a better movie than I can only imagine?
Well, what do you think, Bob?
I think our goal is every film that we are a part of, we want to be better than the last. You know, there was something magical and hard to top with I Can Only Imagine, something that, you know, it's an underdog story that you didn't see coming.
Right.
But I would say that I still believe is equally as satisfying, but is a bigger scale. And so I think, you know, even the way that John and the team shot the film, the level of actors that we got involved, you know, from Gary Sinise and Shania Twain to this kid KJ Apa is just, he's the next Tom.
Really?
Oh, he's a movie star.
He was great.
And I felt old because, the whole Riverdale phenomenon, his TV show, was something that, you know, anybody over 30, you know, I was like, you know, Riverdale, I've heard of that, but I don't really know what it is. But we had so many high school and college teenage girls that kept trying to sneak on set with their signs. And we'd show
stories
up and there'd be rows of them. It's like the Beatles were showing up.
I've never seen Mania.
What is going
like
on?
Really?
So really? it was amazing. And then that kid's going to be a movie star. And so to see talent like that come on board, I think Lionsgate, because of what they saw with Imagine, gave us deep resources and said, go get whatever you need, whether that was actors, whether that was on the technical side, whether that was in how it's promoted. They really put all of the energy behind the studio, the same level of attention they would show any other film. So we're no longer kind of redheaded stepchild.
It's basically, I think if you love I Can Only Imagine, I really do believe you're going to love this movie. And I think it will sort of surprise and delight. I think it will give you, it's different. It's different in that it's a love story. So it's kind of hard to compare the two. But I think if you love Imagine, you're really going to love I Still Believe. And I'm very proud of certain aspects of the team. One of the things we just say is we chase constant improvement, you know. And whether it's the performances or the cinematography, the music that Andy supervised, I mean, there's just so much about the movie that I'm very, very proud of, and I'm very proud of the team. And ultimately, I love watching it with an audience because it's an emotional ride. You laugh, you cry, and I think at the end you feel uplifted and hopeful.
And I'd add this, as you've already said, but there's this tension of this love story in the middle of one of the biggest and hardest questions anybody will ever deal with in their life, whether you're a believer or not. The evil that a good God allows. You're balancing that mm-hmm. tension the whole time, and you do it so well.
You know what's interesting about that is when we've surveyed audiences, we do a lot of testing, and we spend a lot of money testing the film and tweaking it because we want to make it right for the audience. And when we've tested it with just not people of faith that are young, teenage girls that are young, you know, this is a selfless, beautiful, godly love story. And what's funny is they don't say this is like not realistic. You know what they say is, I want to be loved like that. I wish someone would love me like that. Mm-hmm. So it's a way to take all this equity with KJ and his 17 million fans and then use that to really present the truth of this is a real love story. Mm-hmm. And this is a beautiful love story. This is a selfless love story. And this is the way, you know, every man should love a woman. And this is the way everyone deserves to be loved.
Mm-hmm. So the fact that the last time you were at bat, you hit a grand slam that went like out of the park.
Oh, gosh. Thanks for reminding
me. Hey, Bob. Football. Football. We're not baseball guys here.
That's right.
Yeah. Here,
we like sports with time limits.
So. here you are back up at mm-hmm. bat. Are you feeling the pressure that we got to hit another grand slam out of the park or we're toast? Everybody's going to go, a single is not good enough for you guys.
Well, thanks for that.
I wasn't nervous until you said that.
I would say after I Can Only Imagine, it was so successful. And there's only one song called I Can Only Imagine right. that has such an amazing place in the hearts of millions of us. And that was sort of why we wanted to take that bet. So in the entertainment business, if anyone tells you they know what's going to happen, they're lying, you know? And so I think what's amazing after Imagine is we were able to present a vision to the movie studio Lionsgate. There's actually sort of a bidding war. And to build something beyond ourselves called Kingdom yes. that will be multiple movies, I still believe is the first of those movies. And they're not all directed by Andy and I. So it's a way for us to create a studio, basically, that can incubate and foster emerging talent under a banner called Kingdom. And mm-hmm. and we're going to get to make a lot of these films and just infuse the gospel back into culture. And that's so exciting to be a part of. And so, yes, it needs to work. But honestly, I've learned just to not think about the result. Just think about making a great product that people will love and mentoring and incubating great teams of people and just letting God do the rest and be as wise as we can, be as shrewd as we can. I Can Only Imagine was providential that we experienced it once in our life, and we'll see what God does.
I think you can't control box office, and you know box office is just a part of it. Really, it's about we serve an audience, and we want to make sure that whenever we do a product that it is worth the $10 ticket, it is worth the invitation of a friend or a family that you know to say you can be proud of this. So the only thing that we really can control is, did we fully mine every potential in that story and tell something that we can be proud of? And in this case, with I Still Believe, I've never been prouder of a product. Mm-hmm. And I think that the story really shines, has the ability to connect with a younger audience, I feel. So all the potential is there. The part that we can't control, that's up to God and what he wants to do with it. But I think that we've presented something I feel like is definitely worth the price of admission.
I know this is going to sound a little like a broken record to some in our audience, but will you remind folks of how important opening weekend is for what this film is going
to
be?
Yeah, you know, opening weekend, it's similar to the, you know, Josh and the Battle of Jericho. They ran around the town seven times and then they all yelled at the same time. Their voice unified. And that's when the walls of Jericho came down. And to me, that is what happens when we show up together and unify our voice. If we want the hearts and minds of a generation, which that's the real goal behind, we want to recapture the imagination of a generation with the gospel. And I think there's no greater thing that we can do together than to really engage entertainment. I just think it's the language of our time. It's the language of a generation. And the best way to get the attention of the generation we want to reach is to show up together and unify our voice. And when you come opening weekend, your movie ticket is your vote. And not only does it get to people that we need to get to in the United States, it triggers these amazing things called output deals that people don't know about. Entertainment is actually America's second largest export behind agriculture. Mm-hmm. The trouble is we only export our hits. But if you can get in that top 50 American movies, that how far these things go and how many lives they touch is unbelievable. In the same year that China, 2018, that China restricted a lot of rules around Christianity, they paid us for the right, a lot of money, for the right to translate I Can Only Imagine and distribute to their people. And that's happened in over 100 countries. So when we unify our voice here and we create a hit, it creates this Trojan horse worldwide. It's like the gospel on global autopilot. And we're all a part of that. It's all about that opening weekend number. And again, I can't reemphasize it enough. If you look across the spectrum of entertainment, whether it's Kanye West or whoever, there is a moment within the industry on behalf of Christianity that I can't even begin to describe how fundamental it is. And I was with the head of the studio, and no studio has ever taken this big of a bet on faith and on our audience. And he says, we're just waking up to how large the Christian audience is. We had no idea. And the more we prove them right, the bigger and bigger these things will get, the more filmmakers will be able to incubate and empower. And I just dream of a day not too far from now where Christianity is back in the conversation in America with this generation again. I just think the timing's right. I haven't felt a cultural moment where we're all craving hope and optimism, you know, and the gospel is good news. And so I just think that we've only scratched the surface of what could happen. And I think the more we come together at the same time in the same moment, which in this case is your movie ticket, the more we can accomplish.
The reason why it's so important right now is with our films, we've really embraced that our purpose is evangelism. We're there to plant a seed, just like you were saying, Dave, that you'll have an emotional experience in a theater that you don't have in regular life because you feel the ability to engage with a story and your guard comes down. And it engages you emotionally, that goes beyond logic, and then it works its way back up and just sticks with you. Yeah. That's an opportunity for somebody to come to Christ. So we plant a seed. And that happens the second weekend a lot of times, because the first weekend, the Christian audience shows up, the core, the faith audience, they make tons of noise. And when $17.1 million box office happens with I Can Only Imagine, fear of missing out kicks in. Yep. And then the general market people, the people that are outside the church, say, what in the world is this I Can Only Imagine movie? In this case, I Still Believe. And then they show up, and then it is a, you know, fields ripe for the harvest. And so the more noise you make opening weekend, more FOMO kicks in. Second weekend, it's an opportunity for the church to have great ministry.
And I think it's beautiful to think, you know, there's a lot of great sermons being preached out there by great preachers like Bob Lapine and others, you know. Now, think about it. There's a lot of them that nobody ever hears because they're not walking in churches.
Right.
Even if they're looking for God, they're probably, many of them, never going to walk in a church and hear a sermon. Your movies are messages that are powerful, that if there's enough buzz, people that never thought they'd go to this movie are going to go, because they hear about it, their neighbor. And so when I buy a ticket, I'm almost thinking I'm sort of becoming an evangelist.
You are.
For the gospel that's in this movie to my neighbor.
You are.
And it's going to be a powerful, powerful thing.
It is unbelievable what we can do together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That none of us can do alone. And we serve the local church. We believe in the local church. That's why we exist.
Yeah.
And we want to be sort of like an air force for the local church.
And if you got a neighbor, a friend who doesn't go to church, but they like romantic movies, they like Nicholas Sparks movies, they've gone to those things before, you will not be embarrassed taking them to see this film. They're going to walk out going, that was a great movie.
Oh, they're going to love it.
Yeah.
No question. Guaranteed it. I'm a movie critic.
The question
people
is,
know this.
Did you cry?
Oh, of course I cried.
I love it.
I was trying to not. I mean, Anne looks over
just
me.
Own it.
Yeah. He does own it.
Yeah. I mean, she looks over at me sometimes like, what is wrong with you? I'm wiping my eyes. Mm-hmm. I mean, the story is so beautiful. I cried multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it never ends. And here's the great thing. One of the reasons you're here at Family Life Today Radio is because you're going to announce today, right, your next movie?
I wish I could.
Bob Lapine story?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. It's an international espionage thriller is what it is.
It would be Bob's
It's dream. A spy movie. Not many people know that about Bob.
Well,
it's a moonlight
they will.
And hopefully folks will just ignore that and go see your movie this weekend. The movie I Still Believe opens in theaters today. You can go to our website, familylifetoday.com, to see a trailer, see a preview of the movie. Grab some friends, order tickets, go this weekend to see this film. It's a well-crafted, well-told story, and you will enjoy it. You'll be moved by it. Again, information about the movie is available online at familylifetoday.com. Jeremy Camp's story is in a book called I Still Believe. We've got that book in our Family Life Today Resource Center. You can order it from us online at familylifetoday.com. And we just hope you'll get out and see the movie this weekend. Again, find out more about the film when you go to our website, familylifetoday.com. Now, would you join us and pray with us for couples who this weekend instead of going to the movies, they're going to a marriage conference. We've got couples in Boise, Idaho, Cleveland, Ohio, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Nashville, Tennessee. In fact, you guys are going to be speaking in Nashville this weekend, and then in Reston, Virginia as well. Hundreds of couples all across the country who are planning to attend a Weekend to Remember marriage getaway. Pray with us that these couples will have a great weekend together as they build into and strengthen their marriage. And thanks to those of you who help make these events and this daily radio program and the resources we produce and our website, you make all of that possible when you support the Ministry of Family Life today. This ministry is listener supported. Your donations are the fuel that determine how far this ministry can go. So thanks to those of you who have in the past donated to support Family Life today. If you can make a donation today to support the ongoing work of this ministry, we'd like to say thank you by sending you a set of resurrection eggs, a tool that parents or grandparents can use to help explain the story of Jesus' death and burial and resurrection to preschool and school-age children. That's our thank you gift today. When you support the Ministry of Family Life today with an online donation, go to familylifetoday.com to donate or call 1-800-FL-TODAY and donate over the phone. Thanks for your support of the ministry. Thanks for praying for the couples who will be at the Weekend to Remember this weekend, and we appreciate you. And we hope you have a great weekend. Hope you and your family are able to worship together in your local church this weekend. And I hope you can join us on Monday when we're going to talk about how important it is for women to be strong women. Mary Cassian will be here to help us understand what that means biblically. What's the right kind of strong for women to be? And I hope you can tune in for that conversation. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch, along with our entire broadcast production team. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a Crew ministry. Help for today. Hope for tomorrow.